Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning to our Fellowship Friday of Learners. We praise the Lord for this day and for his love and for his precious sacrifice. Good morning. We welcome you to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette. And with great joy, we look at the life of Christ. We look at the sacrifice of Christ. We humble ourselves at what he has done for us. We understand we are entering into what some people call the Lent season. And it's a time that when you search yourself and that which you find that is not like him, you sacrifice it, you lay it down, you give it up, you surrender it. Too often we do this sporadically during certain times that have been established by the different organizations that we are a part of, the religious community, the world, and yet every day should be a time of denial, of daily dying to Christ. But they put forth the Lent season. There's many understandings of it, its origin, and that sort of thing. But the purpose that the church today has come to view it as a preparation for the worship of Holy Week and acknowledging the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet that isn't necessarily the things that the Bible says. Okay, I know my phone is doing something weird, like it's on mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm on hold.
Yes.
Okay, you can hear me. Okay. And so the question was asked, a wonderful, wonderful question. I think the question was ordained by God so that we can go deeper and so we could, or closer to Him and what it is He needs us to understand. In so many ways, we follow the leader without, and that's the established leader, not necessarily the person that's in charge of our worship centers, but just, you know, we do things and we're not really sure why, but that's what they do, so we do them. And yet God wants us to follow His word and do things because it has been declared in His word that that is the journey and the path that we should take. I don't want to go into too much detail. However, I do believe if it's something that's in your heart and in your mind to know more about, that you look into it and you let the Holy Spirit lead you to the truth that God wants to reveal to you in this season of your journey. I know that it is going to enlighten me, what I have read and what I have learned, the fact that it is established on Ash Wednesday, which is 40 days before the, it just depends whether they're thinking of Friday, or Good Friday, or Sunday, which was really the Passover. And so those 40 days, they look at as a preparation of getting closer to God, to giving up something because Christ gave up His life for us. And it's actually when you really allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, we will see that we need to do that every day, not just leading up to the resurrection, because He's teaching us that every day should be lived out in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we associate the two elements of the cross to our life, and that is the fact that He died, and so now that eternally I am saved from the wrath of God, and the power of sin no longer has authority in my life. And because of that, the daily journey should be one of laying down whatever is on me that has not been put in me by God. I love the explanation in the on the First Love Banquet in the video when the gentleman says that he wants to make sure our ex knows his reputation, and he'll know that through us. And so whatever is a part of the life we've had in the flesh without Christ should be given up. 40 days they used to measure the lunar measurement, because the lunar measurement as calendar, as opposed to the regular calendar that we look at, which is the Julian calendar, and it measures time by the sun. The lunar calendar measures time by the moon. And throughout Scripture, the time is always often expressed to those that belong to the Lord as it relates to the moon, and the feast days, and the counting of days, and the measurement of time was done based on the moon. And so as a result, that 40 days is also symbolic, they feel, of the 40 days that Christ was in the wilderness fasting and praying, 40 days that Moses was in the mountain speaking to God, the 40 days of the 40 days of the rain that God sent, 40 days and 40 nights in the time of Noah. And so 40 days, 40 years of the children of Israel, you know, walking in the wilderness. So the number 40 has a connotation that is well documented in Scripture. And so these are the things that have been used to establish procedure for what they call Lent. And it is to go through, like I said, it's either Good Friday or Resurrection Sunday, just depending. And so as we look at that, as we look at the things that are going on around us spiritually, we should no longer view them as we did it in the past. With the eyes of our understanding is being enlightened, and it's being enlightened so that we will understand the hope of our calling. And there are so many things that the Word of God has told us to celebrate that we don't have to make up anymore, actually, because if we realize, and as we're learning in these 18 spiritual principles of spiritual growth and development, there is so much that we have to be thankful for with a different mindset. And that mindset is to justify ourselves. And as the song said, he did it all. He died. What his death did was to accomplish everything we have need of. And so as a result, there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves worthy. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves holy. We're learning there's nothing we can do to even want God, but God puts that in us. He does everything. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, totally in charge of our entire walk and our life in his kingdom. And so these are things that we are learning and getting insight into that's different from what was, well, not different, but it takes what we've known to a place of greater understanding and greater knowledge of God. And the more we seek him, the more of him he will reveal to us. And so I say good morning, good morning, good morning to everyone. And as we are looking at this chapter, which may have at first been a crisis of belief or understanding, we're gonna dive right into it. So any questions or comments? Oh, and let's start with our promise.
I don't have a question or comment at this time, but I just wanted to thank my sister for inviting me to this. This is my first time. And sometimes you go to church and you feel like you're out of place because people don't believe the way that you believe them. The more I hear you, this is what I'm supposed to be at this present time in my life, because you be thinking something wrong with you when people say that God supposed to do stuff for you. He did it at the cross. We just have to have a relationship and seek the word, and you don't find too many people believe the way that you believe. So I just wanted to say, she sent me texted me three pages for today, and I couldn't find the book on Amazon, but she's going to send it to me. But I just wanted to thank God for you and this phone session that you have.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. He is longing and hungering for us to know the truth about him and who we are in his heart. And so he is drawing his people. And I praise God for his faithfulness, because he is so faithful that we can rest. One of the things that we looked at, rest, and what we're resting on are the promises on his word. It's on every word, as Christ says, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we have been mandated, I do believe, to get a promise from every book of the Bible, one from the old and one from the new, on each setting of our meetings together. And so I'll let the audience, anybody want to start with theirs? This week we're looking at the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Acts, if I'm right.
Minister Paulette.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Yes.
I have mine. Deuteronomy 7 and 9.
Okay.
It says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." So when I read it, like you said earlier, he is faithful. He promised that he would be faithful to us, and he is.
Amen. Elder, faithful. Just let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to just put this in there. That was mine from Deuteronomy as well. We're always pulling on the same thing. And that's so wonderful. So go ahead. I had to chuckle when I was pulled up. I'm looking at mine. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Go ahead.
Okay. And the next one was from Acts 28:28. "Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And "that they will hear it" stood out to me. That they will hear it. And I thank God that I have heard it.
Hallelujah. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Anybody else? Glory to God.
Yeah. Good morning. I had asked 1:8. "And but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth."
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? I'll give my other one, mine in Acts, which I thought was very interesting. As we pull our promises out, and I pray that we're collecting them somewhere, they become what our prayers should be. And we'll see how that is being brought to light in the lesson that we have today. Mine is brothers. Listen, from Acts 13:38-39. In this man, Jesus, there is forgiveness for all your sins. Everyone who trusts in him is free from all guilt and declared righteous, something the Jewish law could never do. And just the fact that it is in him, it is in him. We don't have a life outside of him. And any life mm-hmm. outside of him is not, as the author puts, a Christian life. And so in him, there is forgiveness. In him is where the power, in him is where the love is. And that's a whole nother one. We would love to get in. So as you look at today's lesson, what were your initial thoughts? At first paragraph, if you didn't read any further from the first paragraph, what would be your thought?
My thought was we have a choice. When we say yes and believe Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead and he is the Son of God, that then I have come into the Holy Spirit. Then he has given us all we need. We just have to start building on it, start reading, praying, fasting, and continue to grow in him in a relationship.
Amen.
So once we accept him, we have everything we need down on the inside. But we don't know what's in us until we start seeking him. But he gave us everything once we believed and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, that's what
Amen.
I got out of it.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
And Minister Paulette, what stood out to me was the word life. That's what stood out to me where it says maturity knows him to be life itself. That word
yes.
just stood out because I don't think many times that we see him or our relationship with him as that, you know, life itself.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That's what stood out to me in that first segment.
Amen. Anyone else? Okay, so the first thing that jumps out is the word for the week, which is help. And so what does that mean? What is help? We use it a lot. We need it a lot. So what is it? Do we have a spiritual understanding of help? And so the author is saying, stop asking God for help. And so to understand what you're going to stop doing, you have to know what it is you are doing. And so part of that comes through understanding this word help as he is using it in this text today. And help is assist. Some of the, what do they call them? In the thesaurus, words that mean things, whether they're antonyms or synonyms, one of those will just fall. But the ones that mean the same thing. And they use it as an aid, words that you can enter, changeable to the word help. Aid, an aid, a service support, an assistance. Assist, maintenance, remedy, and then that's the noun portion is an employee, a worker, an aide, and an adjutant. Not an adjutant. Yeah, adjutant. An assistant, a collaborator. A partner, a servant, and it's like, okay, that is not who God is. He has many names. He is not my worker. He's not my employer. And so often, as the author is pointing out, it's we are treating him as though we have something that we want him to help us with. Whereas God is saying, you need to understand there's no good thing in your flesh. I do not want to help your flesh accomplish anything but its best. What he wants us to do, as Elder pointed out, is to live our life in Christ. Not Christ helping us. Christ is doing it because we have laid down our life. We have identified our position with Jesus Christ on the cross, dead to the flesh, but alive to the spirit. And so he is sharing with us something that I believe should revolutionize our prayer life. And I believe we get to this point after having accumulated quite an arsenal of promises that we found just in the first five books of the Bible. We haven't even really gotten into the meat of everything, but just the first five books, because there's 66. And yet he's given us an arsenal, and the arsenal is available because we pulled out one promise, but there are many, many, many promises that are in the books of the Bible that should then become our praise and our prayer. Our prayer of worship and praise, because it's a promise, it's already done. He has given it to us. It is one of the things that will lead us in our spiritual growth and development to learn to appropriate that promise in our life when there is a spiritual need, not a, I will say, he goes on to say, an earthly need or a flesh need or a temporary need. Anything that's of the flesh is temporary. His promises are for the spirit, which is eternal. The author goes on to share the fact that he is. Yes, I hear you. Go ahead, Evander.
Maybe we should. Good morning.
Good morning.
Maybe sometimes I think that maybe we start looking at him like we do our newborn baby. What's in him? What's he capable of doing? And start learning him what he can do and what he's already doing on his own, or what he wants from us, and begin to start from there and learning him where we can get to know what he's about, what he's capable of, what he wants from us. And go and take it step by step, and then we might not need the help we think we need because he has already put it there. We just haven't used it yet, or thought that we could use it, that we had it to use, we could just use it ourselves. Because sometimes I've gotten to a place where if I haven't heard anything, I won't move. And sometimes he said, I want to see, are you ready or not to move? And would you move in the right direction? Have you learned now how to do right and wrong on your own? Or do you need me to tell you to cross the street all the time? Or can you not learn how to, or I trust you now how to cross this by yourself? Knowing that I'm there with you, but you can see the cars too now. And I just want to know, was you able now to see him yourself? And knowing that I am there to help you, but I want to see, can you just go cross yourself with me beside you, I think.
Okay. And
sometimes I won't need help. I have the assurance that I am not able to cross it without sinning. Because I don't care to sin. I'm going across for a different reason.
Okay. And so we see how he is growing us up. We're not growing him up, but growing him into our life. We are growing into his life, into his kingdom ways. That's what the abide in me. You are the branch. And he is the vine. We're in him. He's not with us, getting us. Well, he's always with us. He is always with us. He will never leave us. But that which is temporal, that which is associated with the natural and the flesh, is not what he is concerned with. It says, the author shares the fact that Christian life and service has a supernatural and a spiritual source. That is the source. It does not have a human source that's been assisted by the supernatural. But it is the supernatural that is engrafted into us as we journey in our Christian living. And so God is trying to say, for to me to live is Christ, and I do all things through Christ. And we see that and we hear that, and yet I know we will say, you know, you pray, says, in all thy ways acknowledge me, I'll direct your path, but all your ways. So just like Evangelist was saying, you crossing the street, you acknowledge him first. If maybe he'll tell you don't go across the street. Don't even get to the point where you think you know what he's going to tell you to do. No, he wants, you are dead in Christ, and you're alive in him. You died with him, and now you are alive in him, and he is the one that, and we often want to take back the steering wheel. You know, we let him give it over to him so that we head the car and turn it around and don't head toward hell, but head toward heaven. But as soon as we get on the road to heaven, then we want to get in the driver's seat, or I can drive from here. We can never take the wheel back again. We are dead, and we have to surrender all. We're going to get to that book. I tell you, it will change your life. But this, even in this, we're understanding there was a way that seemed right. But now we're being taught, and we're being guided by Holy Spirit to reveal that which heaven has concerning us, what true Christian life is about. This is the same principle holds true for Christian life. Our Lord Jesus Christ waits to be wanted and to be all in us and do all through us. Do all through us. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. And so what it is sharing with us is the help is not what we need. We don't need his assistance. We need him. We need his life, not his advice. We need his life lived through us. We need his word. Is not an opinion that we can pick and choose, but he said his word is life. It is alive. He is the word. I am the word, the truth, and the life. And so this is what life generates through for the Christian that is living. And so it said when we're praying and begging, he said God is not being trusted, he's not being honored. And in our continuous asking, it's as though for his help, when he already said, I will supply all your needs according to his riches. So do you not believe he's rich? Do you not believe he understands your need? He said he would supply them all. You know, so what are we asking for? And I thought, what is it? Is it really needs we're asking? Or is it things that we want or feel we need to have in order to meet another standard of living, a standard of understanding, a mindset. I must, you know, perform in order to be loved. Certain people that do certain things aren't worthy of love. That is not his standard. And so sometimes the things that we think we're seeking are not the things that he has established value to. And so as a result, he's not going to give us, first of all, anything that's powerful when we're not in a state of belief enough to handle it. And he's not going to give us that which we ask for that he knows is not what's best for us. Because, again, he's promised that, you know, he every good and perfect gift comes from him. You can't ask him for something and he'll not give you the very best of it. And so it says it's not asking, we are to do. Begging is not necessary. Getting his assistance is not necessary when he has promised. First of all, he's already promised he's going to do it all. So we don't need assistance. So what we need then is, the author says, is our responsibility is to see in the word all that is ours in Christ. And when we see this, when we see this, when we identify what is in God's word of value, when we see, when we identify the values of eternal things, then we then will have praise continually in our mouth, always thanking, always trusting him for what it is he has already done and established, for the promises that he has made, understanding how powerful they are, understanding how eternal they are, and then trusting him that it is exactly what we need. And so things happen in our lives that we often want him to change or to do differently or to add into our life. And if we continue and we're not hearing him when he answers, and we are desiring to seek his answer to look like what we think it should look like, then he's saying, you're not honoring me. You're not leaning to your own understanding. You're not really acknowledging who I am and what I do, what I have promised, who I am. And when we do that, when we just spend time doing that, okay, whatever is going on in our life will pale in comparison. And it's like, not that we don't have those times and those needs of experiencing his presence, his very close presence, but he's saying in those times he wants us to trust the promise that he's given us, that he's always there, and then to wait. Again, these are the elements that so often we don't want to allow to develop in our journey. We don't want to prepare. We don't want to understand. We don't think about what is my purpose. We just go through life thinking the purpose is whatever plans we had for ourselves or whatever plans society or the world has established, it should be this way or it should not be this way. We don't want to embrace the cross or the process of discipleship. We don't understand what that rest is that causes activity in him, because our spirits are quieted, and as a result, our hearts are free and are not encumbered with things that are difficult for us to go through, because our hearts are pure. They've been made, poor. He said he would pour his love in our heart. And that's just not his love for us, but his love in us that will reach out to others. That ministry of one another can only happen if we believe his promise that he would pour his love in our heart. And when that love is, because that love is poured in our heart, then we can reach out to others as he has reached out to us, with patience, with long-suffering, with self-control, because his love is what is the source. It is a supernatural, what do you call it, a supernatural and spiritual source is his love. And so we look at the asking and the seeking of him, and we have to put it into a new mindset. Not one of being, you know, not one of, it's almost praying our will, you know, we will that God will, God's will be our will. You know, we want to convince him to do it our way, actually, the way the deal is, you know, to understand, and he does understand. And he is patient and long-suffering with us. He says, much of our begging fails to register in heaven because it fails to spring from the right relationship that we are to have with the cross, and that's the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because we don't understand it, and we don't understand the position that we're in, when he said we are sitting in heavenly places, you know, we are. And we have all the blessings of those places. It's one, it's just simply appropriating what we need, what we already have, when we're reaching a place of spiritual growth, of a spiritual power, and then appropriating that power, picking it up, understanding how to pick it up, and what we do with it, when we pick it up, and who we're picking it up for, and where it's to come from, and where it's to go. It's not for just our benefit. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
My question is, when you pray, I have read the Bible, and by us following other people examples, because sometimes we don't, when we come to Christ, we don't know. We have to seek him to find out. And I have come to believe that when you pray, you ask him, and then you start thanking him. Because I would begin to hear people pray and pray and pray like that prayer would not even, a long drawn out prayer. But I have never seen Jesus in the Bible pray no long prayer. I heard him say, it is done, after he'd been spoken, even with the blind man. And then he said, when the man went to the water to be baptized, he said, do you believe? Then it's so. And I have, but I have come to say, okay, once I pray that prayer, whatever it is for my grandkids to be delivered from drugs, after I pray, I begin to God, thank you, because I'm waiting for a manifestation, because I've already asked it. Now that's when the waiting comes in. Because by me being a believer, he's not a believer. I'm interceding for him. And God say, ask and knock on the door. So I'm knocking on his salvation, his deliverance. But I don't pray a long, drawn-out prayer. I just say, in Jesus' name, I thank you. And when it enters into my mind again, I'll begin to thank him again.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I believe that as we grow in him, his job, he is committed. This is the commitment that the Father has made to us. This is the commitment that the Son has made, and it is the commitment that Holy Spirit has made to our spiritual growth and development. They are the team that is taking it over, and they will make sure that the truth will be known to us, no matter how we get it. Some people need a preacher. Some people need a word, a commentary, a song, a music, a moment. But he will make sure the truth gets to us. And so often, because it doesn't look like what other people do, they have a problem with it, and then they give us a problem with it. But what we have to do is have that confidence to know. He said that you're going to become confident because you're going to know my voice and you know it's me. And when you know it's me, you'll be fully persuaded. You'll understand that what I have said is true, and nothing can separate you. Nothing can change it. Nothing can trip you up, but I will be there to help you to stand. I will, as we were taught, he will enlarge the ground around us so that we don't stumble, even when we get to a cliff and would fall off. But we have to trust and believe that he is going to do that. And so often we are looking at the ground thinking, oh, I can't step there. There's nothing there. No, you look at him, there may be nothing there. But if he told you to go that way, you step out. That's stepping on the water, walking on the water. That's walking by faith. That's trusting in whatever your source, your life, your breath. Okay, I'm coming from here. And so as a result, there are things that we experience in the natural that we don't all often know how to respond to. And we take that to him. We take what we see to him. We take those dark things in our lives, in our children's lives, in the life of the world, in our community. We take those to him. But what we do, as you say, when we take them to him, the Holy Spirit will immediately, that's what praying in the Spirit is, he'll immediately give you a truth. It's like, wow, I can go into the throne room. I can go with boldness. So what comes out of that is a worship, you know, not a grocery list, you know, but a worship comes forth. And once you start worshiping and praying and praising who he is, then his spirit, his source, he's going to raise up for you because he is our love. He loves us. He wants us to understand how impressed we ought to be about him loving us. I mean, he courts
he
cultivates.
He'll carry us. Yes. He'll carry us a while.
I believe he, once you pray, he give you his word. Like he say, I wish no man should perish. And he say, give his word back to him. And as I begin to pray, scripture start coming to my mind saying, you wish no man should perish, and that man come to repentance. So that's how, if you don't know the word and you trust it in man, you will constantly do what man, the system has set us up to do, instead of what the word of God has set us.
Right, but see, the problem for a lot of people, they don't know what the word says. So they don't
have a
word to put in there that came from the word. You know, they only hear, you know, and we all were. Oh, God knows we all were, because we grow in this. This is a progressive thing. It is always being perfected. We're always in motion, learning and experiencing, because there's so much about God that after we're in heaven for 10,000 years, we still not going to know half of it.
That's when that helps.
You know, that's when he is there. I mean, he is there to just mold our minds in ways that can contain just a little bit of him at a time, because we couldn't contain all of him at once. We just don't, we're just incapable. But he knows that, and he lovingly maintenance us, but he lovingly molds us and shapes us as he's imparting his truth in us. He is growing us.
He's very patient. Absolutely.
And then there are things that we need to experience so that we can see him work and understand that he is there. You know, there are certain things that, you know, we have to walk through to then be able to have that testimony and that passion that we can then pass on, because, as they say, been there, done that, and got the T-shirt, but been there, done that, and had the blood cover it. And knows that it works. And it's that thing that he needs us to do to draw others to him. But it has to be where we're persuaded, not where we can regurgitate words, not that we can memorize things and say them, but we have to live them with a passion, and they have to have such a passion that it's reshaped our life and our thinking. And it's that that we present to man. It is a new thing. It's a new thing because it's a thing of God. It's not a thing of the world. It is nothing the world can fashion and come up even with an semi-acceptable, what do they call it, counterfeit. It will be so obvious that it is not the thing, but that is the work of the enemy, is to deceive people. So they will look at it and think it's okay. The Bible says the days will be shortened. Other than that, the very elect would be deceived, because there's such a cunningness in the way the enemy is going to try to come to tear down the truth, the little truth that we have about God. And what we have right now is a little truth. It's not even a whole. We couldn't contain the whole thing. I think it said Christ said that there's not enough books in the world or the world to contain, you know, all the things that they could write about who God is. And so that's why Holy Spirit is here, the Spirit of the living God. He says to tell us what is going, what is being said in heaven. So individually, we are connected to our intercessor and our Father, and on a continuous, unceasing, unbreakable connection with us, to make sure, guarantee, that we will progress in this journey according to His will on earth. And so the author brings about a lot of insight, if you will, of the way we pray. And I thought about that, and as you were saying, Christ didn't pray a long prayer, but some prayers are just our time with God, that we are dialoguing with Him. It's not a one-way, a monologue, but it's a dialogue. We want to take everything, these other thoughts in my head, you know, what do I do? And I mean, it's just a relationship. It's just like you would call your friend or your mom or your family or whatever on the phone and share with them.
That's
something that's going on. Some background noise. You may want to put the phone on mute. And so as a result, you know, we want to be able to hear His voice and not get so accustomed to, I know it now, I'm good, you know, and I'm moving on.
I understand that probably you still having time with Him, but I'm stuck thinking about a specific thing where you just ponder on it, and it gets you to a point where it's nerve wracking, and you know, you just I understand the part about you having a prayer time with Him. I agree with that. I was just, you know, saying, you know, that, like, that's just my only prayer, because you so concerned and consumed with that situation.
Right. Absolutely. And I understand exactly what you're saying. And truly, this is what Christ addressed with the Pharisees. You know, you stand in the public beating your chest and saying these long prayers. I mean, Christ condemned that kind of a communication and let Him know, like the author says, those prayers fail to register in heaven. Because it's not coming from a heart that has the right relationship with God, which is the union with Christ in His death and resurrection, in which position one simply appropriates what is ours. And so, absolutely, I agree. I thank God that no matter where we are, and we are all in different cities and states and churches and places spiritually and humanly, age and gender and education and profession, no matter where we are, He will reach us with His truth. And I love it, because it's one of the things the author says is we are forever asking God to do things that He has already done or He can't do because of our unbelief. And so we plead with Him to speak when He has already spoken, and is at that very moment speaking. We ask Him to come when He already is there and waiting for us to recognize Him. And so no matter where we are, he has promises that meet the need of what we are even thinking to ask. His scripture says that, you know, he will do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. But according to the to what is working inside of us, where are we? And whatever it is, he is working to mature it. He has committed as a husbandman to get the fruit Amen. From the branch that has been engrafted Amen. In his son. And even it shares with us that, you know, and we don't have to ask for victory. We just praise God and claim his victory to overshadow us. And I love that because it's not just claim the victory, but claim the victory to be my covering. And so even when I don't see it and I don't feel it, I know that it is covering me because he said it. And so as a result, I am standing on faith, and it will overshadow you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because thou art with me. You are overshadowing me. I am claiming that victory to overshadow me, to be that over me that the world may not even see it, but I am under it and in it. And so that is what my life is or that's what my life is being moved by. It's what my life is being moved by. And then he goes on to share with us that God means to deliver to us, to deliver us from sin. And it's interesting. He wants to, we want him to deliver us from sin. He wants to, what did he say? Let me get it exactly how he put it. It says,
remove.
If only I was stronger, I could overcome my violent outburst of temper. Or, so we plead with the Lord to strengthen us that we might exercise more self-control. But this is altogether wrong. This is not Christianity. God's mean of delivering us from sin is not by making us stronger and stronger, but by making us weaker and weaker. That this is surely a peculiar way of victory, you might add, but it is the divine way. God sets us free from the dominion of sin, not by strengthening our old man, but by crucifying him, not by helping him to do something, but by removing him from the scene of action. So in other words, you don't even want the old man to show up. Don't even show up. And so it is such a different way to, it's such a different way to view things that we don't really realize that God's thoughts are, they're so much higher than ours. And they're so much, they're so different. And so we, so much that, you know, even people will say it doesn't take all of that. It's like you don't have a clue what this will take. You know, because it took all that Christ did. And because of that, it will take us an eternity to really understand it and to fully enjoy it. And so we are to seek that weakness. Paul said, you know, that he is strong when he is weak, because that's when God stands up. That's when God is in charge, because his man, not I, but Christ. I must decrease, and Christ must increase. It says the idea that because failure to lead a holy life is due to our impotency, sometimes more is therefore demanded of us, leads naturally to this false concept of the way of deliverance. If we are preoccupied with the power of sin and with our inability to meet it, then we naturally conclude that to gain the victory over sin, we must have more power and yet need no power over sin, because Christ was the one who had the power and who freed us from its
Amen.
Influence over our life at the cross. Amen. So what we need to ask is to understand and have the knowledge of being resurrected with Christ, of being crucified with Christ, to understand and for God to help our unbelief. There are things about his word. You can live holy. You can live without sin. And we don't fully believe that. And so we need him to help our unbelief. And as he is growing up, he will attach the areas that don't belong to him. He will reveal them to us, and then we surrender them to him. So we have to, as the last thing the author shares from our Andrew Murray book, is to encourage us to, even though it is slow, that means there's time that's involved, that we have to embrace the ministry of time, of preparation, of purpose, and with many stumblings, the faith that always thanks him, not for experience, but for the promises which it
each victory
can rely on. Yes.
Help us to grow.
Those are the experiences. But even the promise, each promise will help us to grow. Spiritually.
He did that. Try this one. I'm going to give him this one. See what he do with that one.
Absolutely, and what he said he would do. So even if I haven't experienced it yet, I believe it, and it will make me so when I reckon it to be so. That's that word again, to reckon it to be so, to rely on it. So to rely on it means that then if he tells me to walk through fire, I have to do it because I rely on the fact that he said we could walk over scorpions and whatever and not be hurt. I have to believe that when I get to that place, it is that which I have to depend on. I have to rely on to be true in order to go forward. So absolutely. And the more
it did so much for me. I give it a try, right?
Exactly. It strengthens our faith. It builds our spirit man, not our physical flesh, but it builds the spirit man. We exercise it. Like you say, the more we do, the stronger we become spiritually in trusting that God can do all things and that I can do those things in him and that nothing is impossible. And how many of us believe? And he said nothing's impossible. But do we
Amen.
Believe it?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else, as you went through this lesson, what did Holy Spirit bring up to you?
This one was another hard, kind of hard one. But I, when I read this last paragraph again, I was thinking of what my sister said about, after we prayed to begin to thank God for the manifestation of what we're asking him for, and that it goes back as well to the manifestation of his promise to us to perform a thing or to bring a thing to pass. So that kind of began to resonate in my mind as the discussion was going forth this morning, and when she said that when she prays, after she prays, she just began to thank God for it. You know, she kept asking him for it, and I'm just getting a little cool right now. But
that's all right. Amen. Amen. And he deserves that. He's worse than that.
Mm-hmm. But I did want to ask that the family pray for me and my sister.
Okay.
Because we're going through something right now with our brother. And we just, I'm just asking for prayer for us.
Amen.
And I think this, you know, just come at a time that, you know, even in our prayers that, you know, we continue to stand on God's promise and trust Him in the area of what we're praying for.
Amen.
Okay, she's talking about, she's talking about our brother, but I believe God, His main purpose to come to save. If He don't heal him, he's still able, and we need to be concerned about his soul.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
His soul needs to be saved. If God don't heal him,
amen.
He'll make it to heaven.
Amen.
He said it's appointed to man to die. He did not say what age that is. He just said it's appointed to man to die, but he wished no man should perish but come unto repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So if he get a repentance, not my brother, get to heaven, you know, it's been sickness for centuries. It just that.
Yeah,
we just didn't. It just didn't come about, you know, all through the Bible. You know, it's just that we have more knowledge now and more technology. You know, what people are trying to figure out. But you cannot prolong anything if it's not the will of God. I mean, no one wants their brother to die, but or to be sick. No one wants to be sick. But regardless, we still continue to try to bring him to Christ. And that was Jesus, even though he healed along the way, but that was not his purpose. His purpose was to bring man back to God. That was just purpose. Absolutely. He just did it.
Yeah. You know, and it is a spiritual, mature heart that understands that. And not just understand it, there is a joy in that, and there is a peace and a hope in that truth, because what it does is it changes eternity, and that's it. This temporal life is temporary no matter what. It is going to pass away. But that which comes after is going to never end. And so there is a joy in knowing when one is able to embrace heaven, my God, and to avoid hell. And I believe the fact that for one another, just the joy in knowing that it is a connection that is going to never end, but rather be strengthened, be greater than any connection we could have on a normal human side, because it's spiritual. And so there is this strength that comes in your spirit man when you learn this, when this becomes you've embraced it and you get it, if you will. Sometimes we just don't get it, but then we get to a point
because,
where I get that. Yeah.
And then God has to reveal it to you, because God gave me that when my two sisters and my 9-year-old niece got shot in the head. And I began to ask God why. And He gave me that word, and I have been hanging on to it. Even though she was mad, it's appointed to man to die. I didn't say how they was going to die, but they have to have Christ in their life.
That's
so
it.
Once He gives you something, can't nobody take it from you.
Absolutely.
And that's just what He gave
and
me.
It's a passion with that knowledge that fuels the saint, the Christian, to share with others. It's that kind of passion. You are fully persuaded that you have embraced, it has transformed your thinking, your world, your life, and even the motives behind the things you do. And that's
and I never asked God why anymore.
Amen.
You just ask
Amen.
God why it is.
But
I will not.
And that comes.
He's
from
in charge.
Absolutely, and it comes from a trust and realizing whatever the why is, whether I know it or don't know it, we
right.
have to trust God for it. And that's
right.
that's the place He wants us to be in with Him. So a wonderful time of sharing. Anybody else? Okay. Excuse me. We have kind of gone over our time. But it's all right. So we praise God
Amen.
For our sister, the new one there, and for all those who shared in our time of fellowship and learning together. So enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We go into our next to last chapter, I do believe, in it is cultivation. And we go into the book of the Bible of Romans and what comes after Deuteronomy? Joshua. So Romans and Joshua are book of promise. Looking in those books for our promises of God, those treasure nuggets that build our spirit man. Amen.
Any
more comments, questions, insights, revelation that you receive from this? Don't keep it to yourself now. Amen. All right. We thank you for being with Words from the Word. And we are fast moving through this year. And we're going to be, February 23rd. And that will be next week, will be our last week in the month of February. And then we'll have 1 week in March when we'll do the last chapter. And then we're going to go forth in absolute surrender. You can make sure you. You get that writing by Andrew Murray, Absolute Surrender. And we may do some in between the two books as it relates to resurrection. All right, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right, so be looking at those things. And be prepared to share. Amen and amen. Enjoy your worship. Amen.
Amen.
Goodbye.
God bless you.